trying to learn from the ziyarah that we remember in this month more than other months, the ziyarah of the day of Ashura, which, as we have mentioned repeatedly, according to the hadith, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi remembered this not only for the day of Ashura and for Karbala and visiting the grave and the shrine of Imam al-Hussein, but for throughout the year, every day of the year, and also any location, any locality, to remember the Imam and to say the salams to the Imam in that way. One of the teachings that we have in the ziyarah, which is very important, and we have this teaching in the form of a dua. In the midst of our ziyarat, on a general note, let's have this understanding, while we're speaking to the Ahlul Bayt, these intermediaries between us and Allah, where all our blessings come to us from Allah, through them, by Allah's will, of course. In the midst of that conversation, we have remembrances of Allah and supplication, sometimes more, sometimes less. For example, if you read Ziyarat Aminullah, you will see that the salam part of the ziyarah is actually very short compared to the rest of the ziyarah, which is entirely called the ziyarah. However, most of that ziyarah is supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read that ziyarah. It's a very important, very beneficial ziyarah. It was first introduced in regards to the ziyarah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. However, it is mentioned that it's a ziyarah which is jami'ah. Again, it's a ziyarah jami'ah. It's a ziyarah that you can recite at the shrine of any ma'sum, or if you want to remember any of the imams, any of the ma'sumeen, you can read this ziyarah. There's only one phrase of it that needs to be changed. The initial version of it mentions Amir al-Mu'mineen. You will have to change that. Anyhow, in Ziyarat al-Ashura, you also have supplications. In the midst of the ziyarah, you're speaking to the Imam, you're saying salams to him, you supplicate, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for certain things. And these are very important supplications, very important requests. One of the requests that is repeated is to have qadam sidq. Qadam sidq. We ask this twice. One is in the sajda, and the first one that is mentioned is after saying إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ وَوَلِيٌّ لِمَنْ وَلَاكُمْ وَعَدُوٌّ لِمَنْ عَادَاكُمْ فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي. We have this, we ask Allah for a number of things. One of them is قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَكَ مَعَلْ or قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ في الدنيا والآخرة عندكم. Forget the exact lining there in that piece of the ziyarah. And the last part, قَلَبَ صَدْمَ عِنْدَكَ مَعَ الْحُسَيْنِ وَأَصْحَابِ الْحُسَيْنِ الَّذِينَ بَدَلُوا مُهَجَهُمْ دُونَ الْحُسَيْنِ عليه السلام. What is this supplication? What is this request? قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ, to have a true step with Imam al-Husayn. What is this suggesting? It is suggesting that not all those who were with Imam al-Husayn, who were with Amir al-Mu'mineen, who were with the Prophet, who were with Imam Zain al-Abidin, who were with Imam al-Mujtaba, not all of them had qadam al-sidq.
Or at least continue to have it. This is actually the important part of it. If you look at the dua, it says, ثَبِّتْ لِي قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ. ثَبِّتْ. I want established, I want to keep having, I want this steadfast step, I want my feet to be kept on the path of Imam al-Husayn. Truthfully so. Recite salawat, please. Why do we ask
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Why do we ask for qadam as-sidq? Thabbitni, establish for me, keep me with qadam as-sidq, a true step, a true foot on the right path. I want to be true to the imam. I want to continue to be true to the imam. Not everyone that was around the imam or the imams had a step truthfully with the imam. And sometimes, although it appeared for a period for a person to have that, over time it was lost. Is that another salawat, please? There's a sunnah ilahiyya, a sunnah that God has, a tradition, is the English equivalent of the word sunnah, is that God has, these are His laws, there's certain divine laws He governs this universe based on. Certain laws. One of the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala governs this universe is the law of testing, which is worded in different ways. One of them is fitna. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think it is sufficient for them to say that we believe and that they won't be put to test as long as or as soon as you say, I believe in Allah, I believe in the Ahlul Bayt, I believe in Imam al-Hussein, I believe what he did is right, I believe in the 12th Imam. This is enough. The people think this is enough. This is Surah Al-Ankabut. Sunnah ilahiyya. If you say you believe, that's not the end of it, that's the beginning. You're not done, you just started. The issue is to be able to complete, to be able to get to the end of it, when the last breath is taken, we leave this life, that we are where we need to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put us through tests. What we're asking for in this ziyarah, is, oh Allah, give me, continue to give me, make me stay on this path. Make me stay on this path. Recite another salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Alright, we generally understand it's an important thing. We understand the concept. I don't think it's new to any of us that we are going to have to go. We are going through tests on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Every day of our lives, we are going through various tests, various examinations. And then obviously, what we want to have is to make sure we're on the right path. General understanding we have. What I want to draw our attention to, and to try to see what we're asking for here, and really want it. And really want it. This is the first step, brothers and sisters. Any supplication that's mentioned in our books of hadith, in our books of dua, which are taken from hadith or written and transcribed or taught by the imams like Sahifa al-Sajjadiyya, these supplications are not there for us to simply read. They're there for us to take on board the meanings, make the dua of the imam my dua. In other words, the imam is teaching me to want these things. If the want isn't there, if the desire isn't there, I don't actually want it, then I didn't really ask God for it. I just read lines, okay? I didn't ask God. I can't expect God, why didn't you give it to me? Did you even know what you asked for? You're not asking for anything. You're just reading a dua. You're just reading lines. Even for those who understand Arabic, it's not about the language necessarily. Pay attention. What are you asking for? Think about it. You look at the translation, fine. Okay, you look at the translation, you read the translation. Think about it. Not once, constantly think about it. The more you think about it, the more you develop an understanding regarding that dua, what you're asking, you have a more in-depth understanding of it, and then you start wanting that clearer understanding, that's when you're going to start getting it. Otherwise, if you don't clearly understand, you don't realize you're asking for it. You even understand the meanings of those words, but because you didn't think about it, you didn't process it, you didn't realize what this means, you don't know what the consequences are, you're not paying attention to those consequences, you're not really asking it. Because if you were, if we were to realize what that actually means, with the state of mind, the state of heart that we have at that particular moment in time, we don't actually want it. It's important for us to see that, see the consequences, and actually want it. This is a general understanding regarding our du'as, our supplications. Any one of them. You read du'a, come in, pay attention, see what you want. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in du'a, come in, وَأَشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ قُرْبِكَ فِي الْمُشْتَاقِينَ. I want to desire and have this fervor in my heart to be amongst those who have this feeling and to want to get close to you. When you love someone that strongly, strong love, you want to be with them, you don't want to be distanced from them. If we don't understand what that means, if we don't pay attention to it, if we don't realize what the consequences of that are, that we have to give everything up to get him, it's either him or whatever else. We can't have both. So if we don't start understanding that, we'll read that, okay, we read it as many times, there's so many of us that are reading. How many of us read du'a command do we really get to? Ashtaqa ila qurbika fil mushtaqin. I want to be near you, I want to be close to you. Where is that? Ishtiyaq. Person who loves being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for ways. And as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through whatever means, shows that if you do this, you get that much closer. They won't wait, they won't hesitate. No hesitation, no waiting time. We read that God, but we don't really pay attention to it. We don't want it. وَثَبِّتْ لِي قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَكَ مَعَ الْحُسَيْنِ وَأَصْحَابِ الْحُسَيْنِ الَّذِينَ بَذَلُوا مُهَجَهُمْ دُونَ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. This is the line, the second part of, the second time this supplication is mentioned in Ziyarat al-Ashura. It points to certain matters that are important for us to think about and process, and to actually want. Read this ziyarah, we're taught, you want to be with Imam Hussein, you want to be with the right people, ask for these things in this world. So what does it say? Let's just get the translation through and then start thinking about this. وَثَبِّتْ لِي قَدَمَ صِدْقًا عِنْدَكَ مَعَ الْحُسَيْنِ. I already talked about that, to have be on the right path, but then on the path of Imam Hussein. And then it says, on the path of Imam Hussein and Ashab al-Hussein, people who were with Imam al-Hussein. Then they are described, because when you want to be with Imam al-Hussein, you're going to be like the Ashab. Who are the Ashab? Who are the companions of Imam al-Hussein? You can describe them in many ways. When you're asking for this, when you're taught this supplication in the context of Ziyarat Ashura, at the end of it, the final state of it in your sajda, the description is this: الَّذِينَ بَذَلُوا مُهَجَهُمْ دُونَ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. the most precious part of your life is the blood inside the heart. That's muhjah, the blood inside the heart. بَذَلُوا مُهَجَهُمْ دُونَ الْحُسَيْنِ. They shed the blood of their heart. دُونَ الْحُسَيْنِ. Before Imam Hussein. ثَبِّتْ لِي قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ عَنْدَكَ مَعَ الْحُسَيْنِ وَأَصْحَابِ الْحُسَيْنِ الَّذِينَ بَذَلُوا مُهَجَهُمْ دُونَ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. مش بس want this. We are taught we need to want this. Okay, yeah, we're all going to be tested. We want to be on the right path. Do we want to be on the right path? This is a supplication. Being on the right path, you need to understand, you need to want, we need to want to give that mujah, the blood of the heart, for Imam al-Hussein, for Imam Zain al-Abidin, for Imam al-Sadiq, for Imam al-Hujjah, Jalallahu ta'ala, for Ajab
Shah.
This is the consequence of being on the right path. The consequence of being on the right path. Being with Imam al-Hussein. Being with Imam al-Hujjah is, you're going to have to give this. Understand that consequence. Understand that, and understand when you're asking Allah to be on the right path, you're asking Allah to give you an opportunity so you can give this. And then see if you really want it or not. Check ourselves. At least there's nobody around where we don't have an opportunity like that. We don't have a battlefield like Karbala. There are some believers that are there. They're being tested. There were people who went from their countries to where believers were being oppressed, and they shed their blood for Allah in those lands. They're still doing it. There are some people that are still doing it. That land is not important, whether it's in your land or other land, it doesn't matter. Some people that came with Imam al-Hussein, they weren't from that area. But wherever Allah's cause takes you, wherever Allah's cause wants you, wherever, whenever. We don't have that. We have our own imagination. We have our own thoughts. We can picture things. And we can be a judge. We can be a judge of ourselves. We need to constantly tell ourselves these things. Because honestly, well, it's not something to, when I picture, you know, it's like a cartoon in my head, and I'm picturing, yeah, I'm going there, and Imam Hussein says, stand, and the arrows come, and then I'm standing there. Yes, I want to shed. Really? Let's be honest with ourselves. Picture it. I have doubts. I doubt myself. And I think that's a safe position to have. And when we have that safe position, that we have doubts, we think, I'm not sure. I don't feel the love, the want. Perhaps sometimes when I hear the descriptions, when I hear these ashab and what they did, I realize the beauty of it. I see the beauty in it in such a way that I actually want it. Those brief moments. I hope I have that experience. Huge difference between that. People like Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, the brother of Imam al-Hussein, that was supposed to be there, he wasn't. This is the same man that was present in the Battle of Siffin.
Again, going back to the dua, ثَبِّتْ لِي قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, the son of an imam, the brother of an imam, the uncle of an imam, with the imam in a difficult battle like Siffin. It's not over though. It's not over. Some people were with Amir al-Mu'mineen and Siffin. But when Imam al-Hassan said, now is the time for a treaty, they went against Imam al-Hassan. They started saying things against him. And that's another point as well. We may not go through the test of giving that mu'ja, literally, the blood of the heart, literally, to shed it. Sometimes the pressure that mounts, the pain one feels outside of the battlefield, doing the right thing and the way of Allah, is much more painful than momentarily feeling the pain of one's chest being opened up and the blood of the heart being discharged and released. Imam Hassan, for example, for 10 years as an imam, heard some very wrong things from his friends, not his foes, not his enemies. We have not been through that. Some of us maybe have experienced some form of betrayal from someone close to us. Maybe you feel just a little bit. But know this. This type of bathlul muhja, giving the blood of the heart in an unseen way, where it doesn't actually spill, literally, but it does spill in a way that you wish God would take your life. That's how much painful it is. God, take my life. I don't want to stay here anymore. That's how painful it can be. In the battlefield, it's by the time you get there. See, that's another point there. By the time they got there, they made those choices, now it's easy in the battlefield. The difficulties were the choices before the battlefield itself. Those struggles, those difficulties didn't necessarily mean that you're going to get killed or even tortured. It meant that there's fear, there's danger. The fear we experience, the anxiety we experience, the thoughts we go through about if we do something right, what the consequences may be, mount so much pressure on us, we end up not even going to the battlefield. And once you're there, it's easy. Those people, they have the night of Ashura. People didn't leave them. They've already made their choices. They love staying there now. They want to give that. They've already made those choices. We do have battles, brothers and sisters, here. Not military battles. No swords, no guns, no bullets. Bullets of words. Those are bullets. Being abandoned. Losing things. Close ones, close friends. These are battles that we will go through. We could be involved in them right now. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya was the brother of the Imam, the son of the Imam, participating in a battle. The enemy's not there. And this is why this thought process, so we said the battle is not necessarily a military conflict. But if you are, your thought process, your mind and heart are constantly prepared to give everything, because the most important thing is one's life. Those fears are about losing things that are besides the life. If one is constantly in the state of mind and heart
that they want to give this. Not once upon a time in the Battle of Siffin, then afterwards getting into just day-to-day life and family and children and making money and this, that, the other, and no longer I'm ready. I don't want to. Another time come, like, oh, for saying, can you? I think it's not a good idea. But you knew this is the Imam. You knew this is the Imam. Your father told you, your brother is your Imam. He decides what's right and what's wrong. He tells you what's right and what's wrong. You don't tell him what's right and what's wrong. Your readiness isn't there. The reminder in this ziyarah that we are told to read this on a daily basis is that if we want to have qadam al-sidq with the imams, hopefully we have, that's another thing, because when you say keep me there, we are assuming that we are there. That's another area, I don't want to discuss that too much. Let's hope that we are, and to a degree we are. But to stay, in order to stay, we need to have this thought process. We need to have this thought process. If we don't, any moment, any time, could be taken away from us. You shall say what, please? Inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to think of these properly, thoroughly, picture them the way they're supposed to be. Picture ourselves there. This is what the ziyarah is teaching us. This is what the dua in the ziyarah is teaching us. Consider ourselves there. See ourselves. Have that doubt. And ask Him, oh Allah, from the bottom of our heart, I'm not sure if I'll be there. You please keep me there. Keep me present. Allow me, help me not to abandon, not to leave. Imam al-Hujjah needs these types of companions, these types of ashab. A reminder, I've said this many times, but I feel it's necessary for us to remember over and over. The Imam is an Imam. He is fighting. If we're not fighting, we should doubt our relationship with the Imam. This is a reality. I've tried to explain over and over. You go back to any dua, any hadith about the time of the occultation. Just read dua and nudba, which according to the account is actually received from the Imam. Similar to dua al-iftitah in the month of Ramadan, which is from the Imam. He taught us these two duas and other duas through his means. Look at them and see if you have a different understanding. He is not sitting. He's never been sitting. He's never been in a state where he's just worried about his dhikr or his prayer or just day-to-day life. He's been leading the ummah in the right direction despite all odds. And one of the odds is he can't even reveal his identity to his followers. I was thinking about this. I had to do a course. I had to teach a course in regards to the minor occultation. One of the things that dawned on me in that research that I had to do for the classes that I had to present was to realize that we haven't even thought properly and thoroughly about what ghaiba means. The notion that ghaiba is a state that the Imam is kept in, magically he is unknown, he goes and comes and nobody sees him. This is an unreal understanding of the concept of ghaibah. It's not true. That's not the case. What is the case is an Imam that is cleverly and difficultly hiding his identity for over 1,000 years. Try keeping your identity a secret for a day. See who all you need to disconnect from. For a week, think about what that means. And that's why we have the hadith that says one of the clearest examples of أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Who is an example of a مُضْطَر, someone who's in the state of اضطرار, someone who is in a state of desperation, so difficult that we call that state the state of desperation, because the 12th Imam is in that state. Ayna al-muhtar, I believe it's in Ziyarat in Du'a Nudba as well. Ayna al-muhtar, alladhi yujaw idha da'a. Where is the muhtar? He is muhtar. Our Imam is in that state. He really is. He's not in some unknown realm enjoying the bounties of God with angels and what have you. He's right here on earth. And he is hiding his identity because we are not ready. He is fighting. We. If we want to be them, we have to take these du'as and these du'as seriously. The Imam needs, the reason why the Imam isn't around is again because there aren't enough people that have this quality. الَّذِينَ بَدَلُوا مُهَجَرٌ دُونَ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Stop thinking about 314 and who they are and all these interesting, fascinating discussions that are, I don't know, maybe I just think differently. But the more I think about it, I realize, you know, these are just games that we're playing, really. Doesn't matter if you're one of the 314 or not. Who cares what the figure is? Are you with the Imam or not? I don't want to be one of the 313. I want to at least be someone that pours tea for the Imam. You want to be there or not? You want to be someone that pours the tea, it doesn't poison the Imam. You think it's easy to be someone who pours tea for the Imam, doesn't poison the Imam? Why do you think he's hiding his identity from the Shia? He's hiding it from everyone, right? From the Shia as well. Because previous Imams, their identity was there. Everybody knew what happened to them. Hadith, every single one of us was killed either by the sword or the poison. That's what's going to happen. Allah blesses us and helps us be. me some blessings be upon you. My beloved Holy Prophet and the Every time they would want to forget, get busy with other things, suddenly the heads Ya Allah, I don't know how each of them, as he recognized the Imam spoke to him. Once they knew each other, the Imam told him, "Can you go and pay the soldiers who have the spears in their hands, carrying the heads of the shuhada, carrying the head of Imam al-Hussein?" If he could move Some say it was because he wanted people to be distracted from the women who were not allowed to have their veils. But perhaps also seeing the head of Imam al-Hussein, their father, on a spear. I can't imagine how that would feel. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, allow us to be of those
Ya Allah, khair amal. For his mom we must sacrifice, and Shahada we must hear our lives.
Allah Akbar, my beloved Akbar.
In your thoughts, you are living the hour of Mustafa. In your walk, in your heart.